Badlands. Explain those Badlands. That's a hell of a name.
Now, I don't consider myself a conspiracy buff at all, but when they get a lot of coincidences, I get a little suspicious and call
endless
me crazy.
Holes, weird talk shows, crazy groups every Sunday telling you what
the
you
Republicans
think.
Republicans and the Democrats conspire with one another, which
there
they do.
There is a conspiracy by big business against American democracy.
You know that there was a conspiracy.
There was a conspiracy. There was no conspiracy.
Was there a conspiracy?
It's a communist conspiracy directed out of Moscow.
The right-wing conspiracy.
Communist conspiracy is a deliberate and predictable plan of action to subvert the world.
Right-wing conspiracy.
It's an international criminal conspiracy. It's
vast right-wing conspiracy.
Great conspiracy.
There are all these conspiracy theories.
Was there a conspiracy? I don't know.
Themselves even involved in the conspiracy.
There was
a conspiracy.
No evidence
of a conspiracy.
Anybody would have to be a fool nowadays to dismiss conspiracies.
Conspiracy theory.
Cockeyed conspiracy theory.
Conspiracy theory exists because there really is conspiracy.
But they never told a soul about it. In fact, they engaged in a vast conspiracy.
Since you get accused of being a conspiracy theorist, of being a paranoid.
The historical context of actual conspiracy.
A conspiracy of bad people.
As always happens at some point in a conspiracy. One night, Cousin Eddie got drunk in a honky-tonk and spilled the beans.
There was a conspiracy, and government was involved in it.
A conspiracy existing within the United States government.
There was a conspiracy.
A conspiracy.
A conspiracy.
A conspiracy by the CIA.
A conspiracy of a few.
Dark, secretive, conspiratorial, evil.
Then it was certainly a deliberate conspiracy.
High-level conspiracy.
The do's and the don'ts and the rights and the wrongs of the various conspiracy theories that are
possibility
good.
Possibility of a conspiracy.
In a moral sense, I think it was a conspiracy.
One conspiracy, that's all I'm talking about.
They're full of speculation, conspiracy theories, and the like.
And what's going on here?
You began to wonder what was really happening in America. I mean, was there a vast conspiracy afoot?
You know, there could have been a conspiracy.
Do you
there.
Think you're obsessed with conspiracy?
Conspiracy theory.
A conspiracy.
I'm afraid he'll catch me.
A conspiracy would do the job nicely.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Baseless Conspiracies. Hope you guys are having a great Monday so far. Mine has been very mediocre. Zach, how about yours?
Mine's been pretty good. I got no complaints.
Wearing a shirt like that, I don't know how you could ever complain about anything.
No. Life is a dream, basically, every single day.
I've never seen that one before.
You may not have. Yeah.
How new is that one? I like it.
Maybe a couple of months old, I think.
Okay. Well, you're looking good, as always. Nice and tan.
Thank you, sir. I actually, me and Lisa laid out over the weekend. I was like, I'm going to be even darker for Monday.
I hate you. I'm coming from North Dakota. I kind of have a tan, but not nearly as good as you. But whatever. Guys, normally this show, we talk about random conspiracy theories. I think eventually we're going to do part three of, Vatican Assassins or whatever we were on.
Yeah.
But it's GART Week, the Great American Restoration Tour. We're going to Dallas this week. And so we're just going to kind of shoot the shit a little bit and talk about the conference, talk about some new stuff, talk about our documentary coming out here soon, premiering at GART. So this won't be your typical conspiracy episode.
John, I think we'd be remiss to not mention that there actually will be some good old conspiracy talk on tonight's show.
Well, everything in the news these days is basically a conspiracy. Yeah. So
basically.
But anyway, yes, you're right. There will be some conspiracy, just not our traditional, like, reviewing an older conspiracy. But yeah, so I'm so excited about this week, man. Conferences are, there's just nothing like them. The conferences we do, meeting everybody, I can't wait. And we're flying in. I'm taking Zach golfing on Thursday for the first time ever. He's never golfed before.
Never in my life. No, I've frisbee golfed, but I've never actually gone to a golf course.
Yeah, this is quite different.
And what am I supposed to wear?
Like a suit, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Are you and your friends, are you guys going to be wearing like the golf polos with like tucked in khakis and stuff? Do you have a green Masters jacket?
I do. From that time I won it. Yeah. We're going to like a nice course, I think. I didn't pick it, but I'm pretty sure it's like a PGA Tour course in Frisco or something. But yeah, you're going to want to wear like nice shorts and a polo or something, probably.
Okay. I'll see if I have something that isn't like cut off denim.
Yeah. I can probably bring an extra pair if you need. You don't have to come. We could probably talk about this.
I want to go. I mean, it's an experience, and I mean, I've never been, so let's try something new.
It's gonna be the longest round of my life if you've never gone before. But it'll be fun, whatever. Yeah, well, let's get to our first sponsor, or first thing we want to highlight. Actually, you know what? The first thing I do want to highlight is I want to say thank you to everybody who watches us and continues to support us, because the stream charts, they're the ones who kind of keep track of all the numbers and the metrics for Rumble, came out today or over the weekend, Sunday, yesterday, whatever. Badlands Media, we're the seventh most watched channel in quarter one of 2024. And we're right up there with some pretty big names. Bongino, Bannon, Newsmax, Real America Voice, RSBN. Steven Crowder's up there. I don't know how Fish and Fit makes it. That's a joke. Have you seen any of their shows?
No, but I'm familiar with the style of their content. Yeah.
Oh, it's, yeah. Anyway,
but it's not my bag, but
not mine either. But thank you, everybody. This is cool to see. I think this is the second or third time we've made this chart, and I think we've climbed it a little bit. So we want to keep climbing it, keep liking and sharing our videos. We appreciate that. But now let's play the trailer for our upcoming documentary.
Right on.
If I can find it. Here we go.
Investigating covert CIA operations, investigating the CIA in general, is now off limits to the press, unless you have what Ted Turner called proof beyond a reasonable doubt, which when you're talking about covert operations, you're never going to find as a journalist.
Conspiracy theorists, kooks, crackpots.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
We don't engage in assassinations and kidnappings and things of that kind. As far as I know, we never have.
One third of my staff in this task force was covert action, was propagandist.
Honestly, Twitter or X now is really where I get like all my news.
The unholy alliance between the intelligence community, social media platforms, and legacy media outlets.
And we will have to summon the same capacity to adapt to new circumstances and to meet changing times while upholding timeless ideals.
Fake, disgusting news.
It's one of those pieces of what we've seen around January 6th that is pushed by people that want to suggest that this attack was something other than what it really was.
This is why so many people can't stand the mainstream media, and why there's a hardcore animosity towards the media that is pretty much commensurate equivalent to the animosity towards Congress.
Was that your laptop?
For real, I don't know.
You mean the laptop is now another Russia hoax?
That's exactly what
this
way you're
exactly
going.
What
this is going. Where he's going. The laptop is Russia. Yes.
Gentlemen,
Russia.
I want to stay on the issue of rape.
We have an army of digital soldiers. This was irregular warfare at its finest.
Fuck you. War.
All right, guys. So as I said before, very excited about this documentary. We are premiering it at GART in Dallas on April 19th, Friday at 3:00. So if you have your virtual ticket, you'll be able to see, or you can get, we have like exclusive just to watch that panel or whatever, and not any of the rest of the conference. I don't know why you'd get that one, but you know, I'd get the whole conference, but we appreciate your support. And then we're also doing this private screening in Florida on April 22nd. Very exclusive. I think like 60 tickets available to that, and we're almost sold out. So if you're in Florida, want to come check that out. But otherwise, it's going out for free on May 1st on Rumble for everybody. And it's actually kind of funny. I was so Adam Riva, the guy who made the film with us, Dauntless Dialogue. Mm-hmm. He also worked on the Flynn movie that just came out, which I think you went to, right?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen that yet. I think they're coming to North Dakota at some point. But anyway, so I was talking to him, and he's like, "Yeah, so the producer of the Flynn movie is probably going to be at the Florida event. He wants to talk to you about, like, you know, how you're doing all this stuff and you know, how you budgeted it and all these things." And like, you know, they had like a $750,000 budget they were working with. I mean, that wasn't the number, but it was like a significant amount of money. And
right.
He just wanted to, you know, pick your brain on how you did things. I'm sitting here thinking, we didn't have a budget. No. Like, we just built this out of our basements and we're putting it out for free and, you know, whatever. But it's just funny to like the difference. But I think you guys are going to love this documentary. I really do. Even though you guys are not necessarily the target audience, it's for the normies. the simple minded, you might say.
Actually, you don't want that clip going out.
I wish I could take that back, but whatever.
No, but very excited. You guys are ahead of the curve. That's all he's saying.
Yeah, that was a compliment to the audience, and not a compliment to the people who don't watch our shows. But yeah, very excited. And Zach, you're going to be in Florida, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be in Florida. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, so cool. I get back home late night on the 21st, go home and sleep for a little bit. And then I'm going to drive to, what is it, West Rotunda? Is that it?
Yeah, it's on the West Coast somewhere.
Yeah, it's someplace on the West Coast. That's all I know. It's like 4 hours away. Going to drive there. I'm going to hang out, watch the film with a bunch of other people for the second time in as many days. And then and then head on back home and get back to work. Good times.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Anyway, guys, get your tickets. We're going to be like gone all weekend. So most of our normal shows will not be airing because we'll be at GART. So if you want to hang out with us, you got to get your virtual tickets.
Yeah.
Which you can do at badlandsmedia.tv. But
yeah, so anyway. So we're definitely not doing a show next Monday night. I would say a good portion of the shows from Wednesday through the weekend are all probably going to be pre-recorded. So you're going to get new content, but unfortunately, like, we're not going to be able to be there live. We're going to be on stage and stuff.
Yeah. Except the Saturday Power Hour. That is going to be live, usual.
I forgot.
Yeah. It's always one of the fun ones. There's a Rumble rant I got to read too, from Brian Murphy. John, the real conspiracy that needs to be addressed is that Burning Bright is not attending Dallas Guard because you have him under a gag order. That is not what's happening. He is not attending because he's finally going through with that transition.
Oh, the reassignment.
Yeah, that he's been waiting for. He's been saving up for a long time, and he's finally pulling the trigger. So
stunning and brave.
Yeah. Didn't time it very well, but it's happening. So, anyway, man, let's talk a little news and then we can come back around to other stuff. I don't know.
So, did you hear that Judge Juan Marchand is not going to allow Donald Trump to attend Barron's high school graduation?
Yeah. So, this is the hush money case, right?
Yeah.
Stormy Daniels,
Michael Cohen. Yeah.
Which is, this was news back in like 2019 or something. I don't even remember.
Oh, dude. No, I mean, it Stormy Daniels denied it all the way back in 2018. I mean, I would say the entire time Donald Trump was running for president, they were trying to pimp this idea that he and Stormy Daniels had an affair. And then, you know, the money actually came out, and then Stormy Daniels signed that that statement, you know, claiming that she didn't do it, and that they never had sex. And then she started doing the talk show circuit, and she kind of got vague about it. Now, what I think happened is that they basically approached her and they said, listen, you know, what else do you got going on? You know, are you satisfied making a living on your back still? Or would you like to get paid to just basically talk about you potentially having sex with Donald Trump? And she said, okay, yeah, I can do that.
Do you remember when Brian Stelter said that Avenatti should run for president?
Oh my God, yes. Famous last words. I wonder if they brought that up when he was separated from CNN.
Here, let me find, yeah, I got it right here.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I agree with you. I don't know if it's a good thing that star power and TV savvy is required for the job, but I think it is. And by the way, I think President Obama also had a lot of TV star power, and that helped him pre-Trump. But Trump is more evidence of this. And looking ahead to 2020, one reason why I'm taking you seriously as a contender is because of your presence on cable news.
And Brian Stelter is currently out of a job.
I don't even think he's doing a podcast.
Man, everybody's got a podcast these days.
That's right.
That is, yeah, funny. But anyway, Avenatti came out recently in support of Trump. Basically, like, all this stuff he's going through, I mean, it's clearly BS. I don't even remember which case that was.
It's the hush money case. I mean, first of all, he supported him from his prison cell. I don't know how he's calling, but he did. Somebody smuggled in an iPhone for him. He made comment about the unconstitutional gag order. You know, how it's against the First Amendment. And then
the clip.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go for it.
The evidence in this case. The New York trial now will be Donald Trump's first and possibly only trial this year. How do you assess the strength of the prosecution's case?
Well, I think what I'm about to say is going to surprise a lot of people, and that is that, you know, I think this is the wrong case at the wrong time. Ari. I think that the case is in many ways stale at this juncture. You're talking about conduct that occurred some 8 years ago. I think the fact that it's occurring in state court in New York is a mistake. And I think that when you are going to potentially deprive tens of millions of Americans of their choice for the presidency of the United States, whether we agree with those folks or not, or regardless of what we may think of Donald Trump, I think it's a mistake to do it based on a case of this nature. I was hoping, frankly, that there would have been less hand-wringing, less bedwetting, and that the January 6th case would have been filed in a more timely manner. There's no excuse or reason as to why that case could not have been brought in 2021, and it should have been brought in 2021. And had it been brought in 2021, we would not find ourselves in the situation that we're in right now. Now, I know a lot of people have been critical of the United States Supreme Court, and as well as the second, not the second, but the D.C. Circuit.
Yep.
You know, I think those complaints are frankly misplaced.
So here's the thing. Michael Avenatti, his premise is, you know, fundamentally flawed, because the people bringing this case knew ultimately that there was no case. And the point is not necessarily to lawfully convict Donald Trump. It's merely a ploy just to waste his time, waste his money, and to pile everything on at the 11th hour to try to stop him before he actually crosses that finish line. I mean, I think they were also perhaps hoping that maybe he just wouldn't run as a result of the threats of all of these various legal actions. I mean, I would be surprised if they didn't reach out to him and say, you know, we can make all this go away. I mean, I think he intimated as such quite a while ago.
I don't think it was ever about scaring him away. I think it was more so scaring the voters away. You know,
well,
they're trying to get him death by a thousand cuts. We've been talking about this for a long time, right? Yeah. They wanted as much baggage on him as possible, even though
certainly
there's not a single actual crime that's been committed that they can find. Otherwise, I mean, the media with him right now, or just over the last 7 years, they've gone absolutely ballistic trying to spin every possible story
right
negatively against Trump. If they had any actual evidence of Trump doing wrongdoing, could you imagine?
Oh, it would have been years ago.
The meltdown, like Maddow would be on her show. Never mind. I'm not going to say what I was about to say. But anyway, this whole thing has been about obstructing the 2024 election. They wanted him to lose in the primary, so they didn't even have to face him in the general. And now they have to like go through with these actual cases. And I don't see how any of them actually work, except for some of these judges, which are absolute insane liberals with ties to Obama or whoever this one has a tie to. They'll all get reversed on appeal. Sorry.
And no, you're absolutely right. And I was just going to say, Marchand's daughter has a consulting firm that actually has worked and has been continuing to work with the Biden-Harris campaign and a whole host of other left-wing political figures. From the time that Donald Trump was indicted until today, her company has raised nearly $20 million off of that fact. And there's also an audio call, like a conversation between her and her dad before he was indicted, where they're both talking disparagingly about Donald Trump. And it's quite clear that, you know, there is no such thing as a fair trial with any of these judges, and certainly not with a New York jury. They're going to choose people based upon their dislike and their hatred of Donald Trump. But yeah, they definitely were hoping to impair him in the eyes of the voters, but it's done the exact opposite. And, you know, now what you're seeing, despite the gag order in the hush money trial with Judge Marchand, Donald Trump is daring them to put him in jail. Like he knows, like, okay, imagine, look at this. I got a freaking coffee mug with his mugshot from Georgia on it. All right. Imagine another one in a New York jail, except this one, they actually hold him for any period of time.
I don't think that's possible, man.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's possible. I'm just saying that the threat of it, Donald Trump is daring them to do it. Like, try me. Because if they did, if they even put him in jail for a couple of hours, it would completely enrage the population. And people who are maybe on the fence, they would be like, this is madness. You know, I mean, they've already pushed a lot of people over to Donald Trump just by virtue of the fact that they're even going through with this stuff.
Can you imagine? I think we talked about this. Was it the where was he first indicted at? Was it Georgia?
I think that it was Georgia. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people were saying that
New York.
Well, I know. Yeah. Alvin Bragg first this case. All right. And then
there was one in Miami, wasn't there?
There's the classified documents down in Florida. Then there's the election interference in Georgia. Then there's the January 6th trial in D.C. You know, but there were a lot of people who were saying for a long time that he won't even have to take a mugshot. And I was like, just wait. I was like, he's waiting for this.
Where was that mugshot from, though? That was Georgia, right?
That's Georgia. Yeah, okay. That's the only place where they've done one and released it publicly.
Yeah. Well, so my thought here was when that first happened, our discussion on this is the Secret Service has to, like, give the go-ahead for mm-hmm. him to actually, like, spend any time in prison. And I do not imagine that is going to happen. I don't see how it's possible that he actually spends any time in prison. But, I mean, who knows at this point? He could try, but I'd be very curious to see how that plays out. This thing would get appealed instantly, and it would get overturned. There's no way.
Certainly. But with the way that something like breaking a gag order works, I mean, they would have the power literally to haul him into a jail cell right then until, you know, whatever they decide it's going to be. But the logistics of it, that's what you're talking about. I mean, the Secret Service they'd have to empty out an entire wing. There would be no way that they would have any other inmates around him in any of those jail cells. And he would essentially be in Secret Service protection wherever he was. But my whole point is that it's the optics. And Donald Trump, I believe, understands the optics of them trying to put him in jail or eventually, you know, perhaps doing it. And if they were to do that, it would be a massive campaign tool for him.
Yeah, 100%. Somebody in the chat just said he would sell so much merch.
Yeah, he would. Yeah.
Can you imagine the NFTs on that?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, no, it would go out immediately. He would make a call to, like, RSBN from his jail cell, you know. Oh, I can't believe they did this to me, your favorite president.
Dude, I'm still so salty. I didn't get those damn gold sneakers.
Oh, dude, I am too. A pair of them sold on eBay for like $250,000, something crazy.
That wasn't
in my size, the size that I tried to get.
It wasn't me. Happy birthday. It'll be coming. Here. I spent $250,000 on sneakers for it. No, bro. Yeah. Freaking had them in my cart and kids. Mm-hmm. Love my kids, but they somehow ruined my opportunity to buy sneakers.
Yeah, I got carried away with work and I just forgot to hit complete.
Anyway, whatever. I'll get over that someday. Yeah. But yeah, it's nuts, man. The whole skipping graduation, there's no way the judge can keep him there for that stuff. I mean, this whole thing has been election interference, mm-hmm. but actually, like, making him, like, you have to be here every single day for trial for the next 6 to 8 weeks. It's not just missing Barron Trump's graduation.
Yeah.
Or Shaquille O'Neal ever. Dude's so freaking tall. It's insane. Do you see that picture of him, by the way, with Patrick Bet-David?
Barron with Patrick Bet-David?
Yeah, and all those people?
No, I missed it. No.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, anyway.
Pull it up. Let's see it.
I'll see if I can find it. But
I mean, I can tell you that I've seen pictures of him recently, and he I don't know anything about basketball, but like what, a forward or something? I mean, whoever's the guy you send out with the ball.
Center,
there you go.
Yeah. You really aren't the athletic type, are you?
I'm not. No. I mean, hey, man, I do plenty of athletic things, but I just don't play sports. I'm like a hiker, mountain biker, camper, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that's not athletic when I think athletic, but whatever.
You talk about that. Hike 30 miles in a day up a mountain and tell me what you think.
That's not necessarily athletic. That's you're in good shape.
Endurance.
And yeah, there's a difference.
All right. So I can't dunk.
We'll judge your athleticism based on how golf goes on Thursday.
Okay. All right. I was going to say, but, you know, worst case scenario, we're going to get lots of good footage of me like whiffing and maybe breaking golf clubs.
Yeah, I think your girlfriend in the chat said that he's going to be limping home for sure.
Could be.
But anyway, I can't find the picture. Man, that was so recent. Maybe somebody sent it to me. Maybe I wasn't supposed to say anything. I don't remember. Never mind. Let's just forget I said anything, guys. But yeah, we'll see what happens with this. I do not anticipate that holding. He's not going to have to attend this, or he's just going to say screw you and not go anyway. But we should go on to what was the other topic we're going to discuss? The bridge stuff, the FBI.
Oh yeah.
You want to discuss that a little bit?
Okay. So the Francis Scott, well, first of all, even before the Key Bridge incident, we've had a series of major infrastructure related disasters. He has two left feet. I am a little clumsy. A series of major infrastructure related disasters up to and including that bridge. I mean, obviously, East Palestine, there was a whole bunch of food processing plants, factory farms, a lot of things that made it look like there was an orchestrated effort to weaken some key points in the American supply chain. So then you have the bridge incident take place. And you know, obviously, I think to everybody, it looked fishy from the get-go. You know, you had the missing tugboat, okay, to carry it through the channel. You had the power outages just moments before it ended up careening straight into the bridge. They did not have their anchor out. They didn't drop the anchor until they already hit the bridge. And so it looked like they weren't really trying to stop themselves. But I have a friend who works in federal government. And I reached out to him and I said, you know, this looks suspicious to me for a number of reasons. Recently, there had been a report about Chinese infiltration of computer systems at ports and shipping lanes throughout America. If you'll remember back to Obama's time in office, he had handed over control of a number of key ports to the Chinese. Donald Trump kicked them out. And I said, it wouldn't surprise me if this was an orchestrated attack, not necessarily to kill a bunch of people, but certainly as a stress test of our infrastructure and response time. You know, something like this, we're talking years to be able to build that back up. And this is pretty key in terms of the type of cargo that went through there. You know, you had a lot of hazardous materials. The only other way to get into Baltimore is, I believe, a couple of underground tunnels. Because of the dangerous nature of those tunnels, they can't take any type of hazardous material in there. So it's going to be a massive drain, not only on Baltimore, but also for the entire country, because this is a huge port, John. A lot of material goes through here, a lot of stuff that's coming from Europe, coming from Asia, goes into that port. There are other ports, but they don't have the same type of ability to keep the materials going through. So it's a big deal. And it's inevitably going to cause delays and price increases all over America. So, you know, great target to hit if you wanted to hit something. So anyways, I hit him up and I said, hey, you know, taking all of this into account, what do you think? And it was like minutes after. And he said, well, you know, as of now, we don't have any specific reason to think that this is anything other than an accident, but it's very early. And so here's a couple of key things to look out for. If it is an attack, a stress test of some kind, that would make sense. And you want to keep your eyes open for additional incidents that are similar to this, that are going to test the same type of response and resiliency of emergency workers and disaster response. So I said, okay, well, that's easy enough. The next day, Laura Logan comes out and she's like, I've got two sources in Intel. It's a little different from the person I know, but she said both of them said, absolutely, this is a hack of some type, and it's an attack on our system. We already know that, but they're not going to say that because it means that, you know, this bad actor is deep in our computer systems, and basically we can't do anything. Oh, not to mention, I think it was just a couple of days before this attack that it was announced that the CIA had run a backdoor into every processor in America, if not the world. So we're talking Apple, Android, Mac, Windows, everything has a backdoor in it. And if the CIA knows how to use it, then it's pretty likely the CCP knows how to use it. Other global actors would know how to use it. And so shortly after the Key Bridge incident and Laura Logan coming out, we have another event somewhere in the Midwest. I don't remember exactly where it was. I want to say it was like Missouri, but go ahead.
Oh, I gotta pause you for 1 second. Yeah. Something the chat said. Emerson Biggins said, John, they read your tweet about CISA on Redacted today. And I'm curious what Redacted is, one, and two, if you have a link for it, because I would love to see that. Mm-hmm. So
we're gonna talk
about it. I'm gonna play the tweet here in a second. But
yeah. So So we had another bridge incident, not nearly as devastating, but the same type of thing. And then just over the weekend, after that second bridge incident, there was a fire, a spontaneous combustion at another bridge where shipping was involved. And they said was that the fire broke out on its own. As far as I'm aware, that's not like super common, but, you know, neither here nor there. Similar type of response necessary. And then over the weekend in Pennsylvania, you have 26 barges that broke free without any explanation, flowed down the river and hit two bridges. And then four of the barges, if I'm not mistaken, went over a dam. Now, it wasn't hazardous material per se. It was dry goods, but it was coal and probably some other things that you don't necessarily want in your water supply. So those two bridges are now shut down until they go underwater to make sure that there isn't any major infrastructure damage underneath. There's no explanation. Now, I also saw just before the show started that also in Pennsylvania, there was an ammunition plant that had caught fire. And obviously, that's going to affect our military readiness as well. But you were telling me before the show, you have this incredible tweet that we need to play in conjunction with all of this theorizing.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this redacted thing. They got like 2.3 million people on or followers on YouTube.
What?
Yeah.
Who are they?
This is them on YouTube.
Oh, redacted. This is Lee Camp. Okay. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Oh, no, this is, okay, this is like Michael Reagan or something, I think his name is.
I don't know. But yeah, this is my tweet. Oh, let me play the video associated with the tweet quick. So, again, yeah, context for this tweet. It was roughly a month before the bridge situation took place. Joe Biden issued an executive order, and I'm the executive order nerd. So we went over this on our show on the Devilish Power, the Wednesday edition, and talked about this. And when I saw this boat just steer right into the bridge, and I saw like the lights flashing on the thing beforehand, I was like, holy shit, we talked about this a month ago and we basically called it. So this is a clip from that episode. I think it was like February 21st was anyway, whatever. Right. Let me play this.
His name's Clayton Morris. People are telling me I don't follow him. So
yeah, no idea who that is, but cool. I'll expect my royalties in the mail.
Biden-Harris administration announces initiative to bolster cybersecurity of U.S. ports. Today, the Biden-Harris administration will issue an executive order to bolster the security of the nation's ports alongside a series of additional actions that will strengthen maritime cybersecurity, fortify our supply chains, and strengthen the United States' industrial base.
So these are some of the actions. He will sign an executive order to bolster the Department of Homeland Security's authority to directly address maritime cyber threats, including through cybersecurity standards to ensure that American port networks and systems are secure. So this is the part that's concerning, because when you talk cybersecurity and DHS, you're talking about CISA. And then you go and actually look at the executive order.
It's to Coast Guard.
Exactly. So this is Coast Guard, which is under the military. Yep. And Biden is now implanting... let me get to it right here. So there was a change from this previously. So it's amending section 6.16-1, which is right here. And this is in the Federal Code of Federal Regulations. If there's any issue, sabotage, subversive activity, whatever, it is to be reported immediately to the FBI and to the captain of the port or to their respective representatives. This new executive order, like I said, embeds cybersecurity. So it's all the same stuff, except after FBI, now it says... I would just like to point out that typing here in the background is burning bright, and he is... Like, I don't know, we need to do a GoFundMe or something to get him a quiet keyboard. His typing is so damn loud, it drives me nuts. Everything he does...
I'll be reported to the FBI, the Cybersecurity or Infrastructure and Infrastructure Security Agency for any cyber incident, and then the captain of the port and their respective representatives. And so this got me thinking about what CISA did during the election. Like, they were totally subversive. Everything they did was to benefit the Biden administration, the regime, the elites, whatever you want to call it, the establishment. And now they're being embedded within military nodes. And this is something I think has happened in multiple areas. And then recently we had that story
of China and their cyber army invading U.S. critical infrastructure. And part of this was through ports in Hawaii.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Among the victims were a water utility in Hawaii, a major West Coast port, and at least one oil and gas pipeline. I'm thinking about this here, and I feel like CISA is the deep state cyber agency, and they're being embedded everywhere.
Brilliant. And if you watch the full episode, we go on to talk about how I bet we're going to see shit happen in ports beyond just that, you know, the one in Hawaii, the utility thing, and sure mm-hmm. shit, we have this and now all this other stuff with our infrastructure, and we called it. So
that's great. Good for you. So what did Redacted say about it? Did they just read the tweet or did they watch the video too?
I haven't watched it. We can watch that for a second. Let's
check it out.
Let's see.
United States. So wait a second. So about a few weeks later, after Chris Wray warns about attacks on infrastructure, waterways, ports, etc., the Biden administration sends out an executive order amending regulations. Like that quickly? Really? Okay, that was pretty fast. John Herald tweeted this and points out some connecting dots here. John Herald says, last month, Biden issued an executive order embedding CISA into the cybersecurity of our vessels, harbors, ports, and waterfront facilities. Huh. I'm sure it's just a coincidence that 1 month later, a ship appears to spaz out before crashing into a bridge, John writes.
Yeah.
So what changed then? Why CISA? What is CISA? Well, of course, CISA is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, America's cyber defense agency.
And that's it, I guess.
There we go. Well, cool stuff.
Yeah, I wish we could be on YouTube. That'd be fun. I mean, we are on YouTube, but like our fourth or fifth account or whatever it is. Anyway,
well,
not salty about that at all.
It's still pretty cool to see. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, that guy was on Fox, and So you hate him? All I'm saying is that we've got people who are part of the mainstream media using Badlands Media as a source for the base of their story, which I find pretty satisfying.
this stuff
happens more often than I think people realize. Most places don't actually credit Badlands though.
Oh, okay.
Most people just like, oh, breaking Benny fucking Johnson, love that guy. He does that all the goddamn time. So oh man. Anyway, we should probably get to our first actual sponsor of tonight's show. Let's hear a little bit from our good friends over at EasyRx. Guys, we've been talking for a long time about health and how important it is to take care of yourselves, get away from big pharma, and take control of your health. That's why we talk about all those medications out there, the ivermectins of the world, hydroxychloroquine, fenbendazole. It's why we've partnered with EasyRx. They have a huge selection of meds at badlandsmedia.tv/EasyRx. You can also click on the link in the description box below this video. Use promo code BADLANDS for 10% off your order of $150 or more. And speaking of fenbendazole, not only has it shown that it can help get those worms or parasites that live inside of you without obvious signs that can affect your lungs, your weight, can give you anemia, affect your appetite, all sorts of things. I know people personally who have taken the parasite cleanse, which includes fenbendazole, and they have actually seen worms in their feces. I won't go into detail, but I've seen pictures. It's disgusting. It's real. But anyway, the big thing with this is that it could potentially help with cancer. And we have a testimony from Joe Tippins to discuss that.
My liver, my pancreas, my bladder, in my bones, it was everywhere.
Joe Tippins says he was told to go home, call hospice, and say his goodbyes. The doctors were unanimous. He was going to die of small cell lung cancer.
Once that kind of cancer goes that far afield, the odds of survival are less than 1%, and the median life expectancy is 3 months.
Tippins says he got a tip, not from a pharmacist, but a veterinarian. And in his desperation, he turned from people medicine to dog medicine. Specifically, fenbendazole.
Truth is stranger than fiction, you know?
Just 3 months later, Tippin says his cancer was gone.
My insurance company spent $1.2 million on me with traditional means before I switched to a $5 a week medicine that actually saved me.
There you go, guys. We have two more spots, but we'll save them for a little bit later. But yeah, anyway,
there was another ship that recently lost control. I think it was just like 2 or 3 days ago. Maybe you mentioned it earlier, but it didn't crash into anything. It was right next to a bridge, but it didn't crash into anything. But I fully expect that we're going to see many more incidents like this. I don't know.
Well, like I forgot to follow up with the final word from my guy. He said, yes, this is exactly what we would expect. And now you would expect to see it go up a step. Do you know if CISA has anything to do with the cybersecurity at like grid points?
Everywhere, dude.
Everything, okay.
Everything critical infrastructure, Biden has embedded them in.
Okay.
They used to kind of be in things, but there were other agencies within our government who had the lead, right?
Yeah.
But when Biden got in here, and if you go back and watch that show, I'll post the link in the chat here and
okay
in the comment section. If you go back and watch the show, I go over all the changes Biden has made with our cybersecurity just nationwide, and CISA has been embedded in freaking everything. And that's what it honestly concerns me, man, because what happened in the 2020 election alone,
mm-hmm.
you know, even just looking at it from a normie viewpoint, right? I can't imagine that there's a single person out there that saw what happened. You know, everything shuts down on election night. You mm-hmm. did all these ballot dumps. Trump's way ahead. And then all of a sudden, Biden wins. And CISA comes out on November 13th and is like, yeah, most secure election in history.
Yep.
That is not the case. We've seen there's been FOIA documents. There's all sorts of evidence to the contrary of that. We know that's not true. CISA allowed that to take place, whatever did happen.
Correct.
Them being embedded anywhere is
bad news.
It should be scary. It's very bad news bears.
Yeah.
I don't know if you said bad news bears, but
I was thinking it, but you know.
Yeah.
So anyways, he said, you know, keep your eyes on the grid, because that would be the next logical target once they've figured out how vulnerable our waterways are. And even if it's not an outside actor, if it's like, you know, say like the deep state itself, which is really like a global criminal syndicate, you know, if that's who's doing it, they're doing it through CISA, then CISA would be placed in the perfect position to just continue that work and just scale it up into things that would allow for a nationwide shutdown. You know, people had said, had asked me a long time ago, you know, what would it take for them to shut the election down? Well, I mean, it would have to be a nationwide disaster of some type. And if they were to shut down the entire electrical grid, I mean, that fits.
Well, that would work. But I've been talking about this on the Saturday Power a lot. So our intelligence agencies, they've been wrong about a lot of stuff. And like, they didn't even know for sure if that balloon that was like floating over the entire continental US was a good thing or a bad thing. They weren't even sure what it was. Somehow, whatever elevation that was at, they didn't have radar, whatever. I don't think our intelligence agencies know what they're doing anymore. I think they've been cut off. Even with China, they had a whole New York Times article that came out 2 months ago, basically admitting that, yeah, we have no eyes on China. The only intel we get on China is from their mainstream media, what they say on the news. That's what we get. And that's how Badlands Media gets our news on China. Like, we get the same level of intel on China as the intelligence agency does, the CIA. But so I think they fabricate this stuff. Like, they reported that, hey, Russia, you guys might have to keep your eye out for some sort of terrorist attack happening there. And sure enough, a month later, we find out there's that shooting in that theater. And after reporting's come through, it turns out they were paid by people in Ukraine, which we know based on even a previous article from the New York Times,
CIA. That
the CIA, fuck man, they're everywhere. But so then you look at all this, like the attack over the weekend on Iran or mm-hmm. Iran on Israel. Since when do these countries announce their attacks like that ahead of time?
No,
hey guys, 8 a.m. tomorrow, we're going to launch all these suicide drones from 4 hours away. It's going to take 4 hours to get there. But yeah, it's coming. Just, you know, so you're ready. I don't think they have any actual intelligence. I think they fabricate this stuff because they know it's coming. So they fabricate the intelligence. So now if they keep doing stories like this, hey, we know of something happening wherever, and they go and carry it out or pay to get it carried out, you condition the population to think that our intelligence agency is trustworthy with their intelligence. So then it comes to the election time. What if they say, hey, we think there's going to be terrorist attacks on our election system, like at polling locations nationwide. We don't know where, but it's all over the place. That is all it would. They wouldn't have to actually do anything. They just need the intelligence that they are going to terrorize polling places or whatever. And they would use that as an excuse to shut down our elections.
No, absolutely. I mean, so the intelligence is really just a spoiler alert for what they're already planning to do. And of course, it's officially not them, but that's who's actually doing it. I had a point. I totally lost it. I'm sorry.
Dude, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
We're all a little ADHD at heart, right? but anyway, yeah, I'm very curious to see what's next with our infrastructure, bridge, planes, whatever it is. We're going to see more. And then eventually electrical grid. You remember the pipeline that went down back in 2021?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how the hell did that happen?
And
they got a bunch of Bitcoin out of that too. It's probably G money.
Yeah. And then the AT&T outages as well. I mean, it wasn't even just AT&T. It was a number of cellular carriers. But I mean, it all seems like if it's it seems like stress tests to see how people are going to react, because obviously the people who are working at these places are not given notion ahead of time that this is going to happen. You know, they want to see like what the response is going to be on the ground. They want to see what the response is going to be from the people out there in the world. Is it going to be enough to make people freak out? Is it going to be believable if we end up having to shut everything down? But it seems just like the majority of people don't trust what the government is saying, what the intelligence agencies are saying. And it makes them, in my opinion, look like a laughingstock to most people. Yeah. I mean, especially after the China balloon stuff. I mean, that was ridiculous.
But anyway, I mean, the main story that came out of the bridge stuff today was that the FBI is actually opening an investigation.
That's right.
Into what happened at the Francis Scott Key Bridge. So,
which is interesting because they already said that nothing happened at the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Yeah, just a mechanical issue, right? But the FBI is going to investigate that because it wouldn't surprise me. Hold on. Oh, Crane Up distracted me. Crane Up, what are you talking about here, man?
Oh, I know what I was going to say. You mentioned airlines. I mean, how many incidents with Boeing planes have we had in the last 2 months? I mean, it's just like over and over and over.
Every flight I've been on, which I mean hasn't been much, but a few since you started seeing, it's become a meme. Like even the person next to you will be like, "Is this a 737? Do you know?" Like, I don't know, but I got a parachute on me, so I really should start carrying a parachute as my carry on. That'd be the smart thing to do. I wonder how much those are. We need a parachute sponsor. If Matt or Jessica's listening. Anyway, we'll see what comes of this investigation. I fully expect them to. They're probably going to say that it was China or whoever who hacked it. I almost guarantee it.
I think that's the only logical choice that they could make from any global superpower. But even if they announce it as China, then, I mean, they're just going to roll over like a puppy dog. I mean, there's not going to be any response that they can make. Oh, I had another one that I remembered. The announcement that they were going to go after Israel. I mean, to me, that's exactly like when President Trump said, when Iran called him and was like, "Hey, we're going to send a bunch of missiles. Don't worry. It's not going to hit anybody. We just have to respond." And Trump was like, "Okay, I get it." And the reason that was similar to that, obviously, because they announced it ahead of time, but it also came out that the Biden regime had actually helped Iran in their targeting. So if they were helping them to target areas that would be successfully defended by that Iron Dome system, or to send rockets into a place where it's not going to hit anybody, you know, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I said Saturday, I think they need to rename this thing from the Iron Dome after the go-kart incident. If you're going to allow flying go-karts to penetrate your defenses, you can no longer call your defenses the Iron Dome. But yeah, the Biden administration, they basically gave the green light in a lot of ways. They're like, okay, you can do this, but just, you know, don't do it too bad. Don't target too many things,
right?
Something. And like, since when is that the case? That makes no sense.
Well, you know, I also think that this was just more assurance that what happened on October 7th was fully orchestrated by somebody with the power to shut down that.
People are getting pissed off at Jews because
I want to play this video from. Oh, sorry, I didn't realize that this is still sharing my screen.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, okay, yes, totally ridiculous. The Iron Dome is not just one layer of protection either. There's like five of them. And so like if something makes it through the first one, then the second one gets it, or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth. And the fact that none of those activated when people paratrooped in or, took their four-wheelers and drove them across the border. I mean, it's quite obvious that there was an inside action to make sure that they would be able to get inside and kill people, do whatever.
Yeah. Okay, I want to play this video from Owen Benjamin because I like the metaphor here. Because I said, again, said this Saturday, I'm sorry I keep referring to previous shows, but it's stuff I've said before, but it's still relevant topics. When I was scrolling Twitter on Saturday after a long day with the kids, it was like everybody was lecturing you on Twitter, like all these big accounts, all these Congress people, you know, big names in politics lecturing you on not supporting Israel enough, right? Like, see, guys, this is why we have to support Israel, because look what Iran just did. And it's getting a little annoying. It was annoying 3 months ago or whenever, October 7th, when that first thing happened. It's been annoying every day that Ben Shapiro posts about it. This whole Candace Owens debate on anti-Semitism, annoying. But this from Owen Benjamin is a good metaphor. It's a long video. Maybe I should just read his tweet because it'll probably be shorter. That way we don't have to watch the whole thing. This metaphor is solid. Imagine if a man, America's politicians, is married to a woman, American citizen, and all he ever did was talk about, support, and defend another woman, Israel. It's the entire driving force behind current anti-Semitism. It's a very inappropriate relationship, and people just pretend that this all makes sense when it doesn't. And since this obvious cause is never addressed, people are allowing their suspicions and anger to morph, just like how a woman starts getting conspiratorial about a perceived threat. Send this to people who need to understand this, because it's important to nip this in the bud before people start taking it out on the guy at the deli who's just trying to fix his bad posture. I find him funny. I know not everybody does. And should I just play the video? Wild boar. I don't know. I read it. You guys get the gist of it. But he makes a good point. Like, why? And also another good point here. How many of our congressmen and women, elected officials, whatever, have dual citizenship with Israel? Because I bet it's like half of them.
It's a fair number. And if you try to transpose that to Israel, like how many of their politicians have dual citizenship with America, I don't know how many there are. And I don't know that there are very many in any nation on planet Earth that are dual citizens of this nation.
Okay, people are saying play it. So I'm just going to play it, whatever. All right. We got time to go.
Okay, sweetie, I know you love Tina, but it's time to show me how much you love Tina. It's like, who's Tina? The lady that lives like way over there, and I've been supporting her, and she had some bitch at work was mad at her because Tina fucked her husband. Tina's a slut.
Okay, I'm totally regretting playing this video now, but now we're too far in.
But I went and fought her for Tina. Like, I went to jail defending Tina. And your wife is like, but someone was messing with me at work. Why didn't you do anything? It's like, it sounds like someone's anti-Tinite. Eventually that woman is going to be like, what the fuck is Tina doing? All right. Uncle Sam's secret second family. It's not even a second family. It's become the first family. And that's how they present it to us. Now, I know that the Israelis aren't just getting our money and just, they're all crushing it. Guys, they can't refill sodas in Israel. Like when Yogi Bear was like, dude, a 2015 Silverado in Israel is seen as like a really nice truck. Like, the average Israeli, don't get me wrong, all the pedophiles on the beach, they're all billionaires. I get it. There's a class there that are ridiculously rich. But a lot of the normal Israelis are not benefiting from this special relationship that we have with Tina.
No.
My wife is Tina, says Simone Poppy. Yeah. I stand with Tina. Honey, how dare you? It's like, no, Tina has been through a lot. She needs new stuff. We got to fight her wars. I mean, 80 years ago, allegedly she was fingered by a German. I read it in a diary written by a liar. I mean, it's just like, if you actually lay out what the Israeli-American relationship is, it makes, like, they're not explaining it at all. It's like, so our government is more focused on the needs of Israel than us. And then they're like, sounds like you're full of hate. It's like, okay, dude, it's not going to end. It's not, yeah, our Tina, right or wrong. Listen, Doesn't matter if Tina's right or wrong. We stand with Tina. It's like, are you fucking Tina? It's like, oh, it sounds like someone's pushing a trope. It sounds like, oh, so you mean like Tina libel? Like you're now it sounds like you're from the 10th century. Like everyone can see through it. Yeah, when I lost at Jenga, Tina was dancing. There was a dancing Tina. When my Jenga tower went down, I saw Tina do a little dance. Oh, really?
I know not everybody likes Owen Benjamin, but I find him hilarious. That got me there.
The metaphor definitely works. And a lot of people are confused about the Biden regime actively supporting Iran and actively supporting Israel. But I mean, can you think of any greater U.S. export right now than the military industrial complex? No. I mean, low grade military conflicts are where the money's at. All right. You know, we don't necessarily need a full scale war. We just need a place where we can sell bullets and missiles and, you know, keep exporting the weapons of war. And
it's not even that we send them our money.
Well, no, I mean, that's,
and then they use that money.
Yeah.
To buy weapons from.
And then the politicians get kickbacks on that money. I mean, it's a giant grift the whole way around.
A circle jerk, one might say.
Circle jerk.
It's insane. And I've used this metaphor before. Like, it's cool to help your neighbors, right? I totally understand wanting to do that, being empathetic. Oh, our neighbor's house is burning down and, you know, let's go help them. But if your house is burning down at the same time and you're like kids inside, dog, all these things, is that the point which you go help your neighbors first? Or do you maybe fix your own damn issues and put your own fires out and then see, you know, maybe who else you can help? And that's our issue. Like, we have so many issues here domestically, but we're constantly being harped on that we need to worry about what's happening over there.
Yeah.
And this is why I keep saying, I don't give a shit. I don't care what's happening in Ukraine. And it's not that I'm not an empathetic person, because I am. But it doesn't matter if we're empathetic if we no longer exist a year from now because of our own country burning to the ground. And who knows what can happen then?
Yep.
It's so annoying, man.
It definitely is. Yeah, but anyway. I mean, it's been that way for a very long time. You know, America's just been slowly eroding as we send all of our resources and all of our manpower to other nations, ignoring all of the problems that we have here. And obviously, that was what was so special about President Trump.
Some people in the chat are wondering where Tina lives and is located. I'm pretty sure Tina is not a real person. not for sale, but... You know, it was just some metaphor, guys. We should get to our probably next two sponsors before we get too far along.
Do it.
And forget. First, we got, who did I put up there? All right, CB Distillery. CBDistillery.com is giving Rumble an exclusive offer, and it's a big one. Right now, you can get up to 30% off of everything. If you have struggled with sleep, stress, or pain after physical activity, CBDistillery.com has a targeted plant-powered solution just for you. I love hearing how many of you have seen improvement in your daily life thanks to CBD. We've had these guys as a sponsor for a long time now, almost as long as our next sponsor, Field of Greens. But if better sleep, more calm, relief, discomfort after physical activity is bugging you, get yourself some CBD from CBDistillery.com. Don't get it from the gas station. And again, massive sale going on right now. 30% off your order. Go to CBDistillery.com and enter promo code RUMBLE. That's CBDistillery.com, promo code RUMBLE, not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota. That's kind of weird. Why would that not be available in places?
Because CBD is outlawed there.
Why?
Because they have archaic laws on the books still.
Nobody bring your CBD to GART 5 in Deadwood. I'm going to tell on you. If you do. okay, and I lied. We don't have Field of Greens next. We have Tack Right. Did you always want to own a pair of night vision binoculars, but you didn't get one because of how pricey they were? Well, now you can grab some for under $200 from our awesome sponsor, TacRite. Similar night visions usually sell for over $4,000 once they're military grade. However, TacRite was able to make a revolutionary new night vision system. Military night vision requires at least some light to work, while TacRite's night vision lets you see even in pitch darkness. Our viewers can get an amazing one-time discount. You can grab one today for under $200. You don't need a coupon code or anything. Just visit TacRightBadlands.com. It'd make a great gift for anyone interested in the outdoors, hunting. I say this all the time, hide and go seek with the kids. You will never lose if you have yourself some TacRight.
TackRightBadlands.com. All right, man. What are we talking next?
Well, if you think it's ridiculous that the United States government is so preoccupied with the Middle East, I guess that the Seattle Police Department has just announced that they are closely monitoring the situation between Iran and Israel. And that's almost, Why? I don't know. But I mean, look at the state of Seattle.
Have they seen Portland? Like maybe.
I mean, that's Oregon and this is Washington, but it's same difference. It totally transposes either way. But yeah, for Seattle police to be watching anybody else besides the city of Seattle, it's just kind of comical.
Okay, the one time I went to Seattle, we flew into Portland, so that's why I got those two conflated. But all these blue cities, all these blue states, that's just hilarious. Why would a local government, though, be worried about like a national issue in another country?
Colonialism, I guess.
Oh, man.
There's obviously plenty of Antifa members and people who are pushing for Hamas supremacy or whatever you call it, but this is so dead on.
Yeah, so true.
Oh my god! Oh,
did you see the latest thing they're running with on Trump? Allegedly today at trial, and we probably should have covered this right away at the beginning, but they're saying he like fell asleep in court or he looked like he was dozing off or something, and they're trying to like attack him over that.
Oh my
like,
god!
Don Snorley on or I don't know something like. But
no.
Do you know how many videos are out there of Joe Biden falling asleep?
I can't count them.
Like the one time he fell asleep in the middle of a meeting with a foreign leader.
Or like, what about when he fell asleep standing up on the tarmac when dead troops were coming in?
I don't remember that one.
Well, he was definitely looking at his watch. But there was another one. Maybe it was a dinner or something like that. But I mean, there's obviously so many I get them confused. Yes, yes.
Like, this is a foreign leader.
He's like, what's going on? Somebody wake this asshole up. There's no audio. Can you turn the audio on?
I think somebody superimposed snoring over the top of it. So
yet another chapter in the beautiful story of the
snoring is fake, guys.
Two nations, the United States of America and the Jewish and Democratic State of Israel. Both of us who seek to do good and need to be strong. Both of us who are yet another chapter.
Hilarious.
Oh my god. That's so funny.
I know. And there's that one let me see if I can find more. There's a few of these things. Because I remember was he at NATO or UN? Like during one of the speeches he fell asleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just gonna see if I can find it. But anyway, it's just funny that they're trying to like go after Trump for this when Biden's done this repeatedly. And of course, I can't find the other video. Well, never mind, guys. Oh, here it is. The COP26 Climate Change Summit.
He's really fighting it too.
No.
You
are
the position of a strong. You see him rocking.
This is my message on Earth to come.
Oh,
funny, man.
Oh, my God.
That's bad.
Oh, it's so good, though.
I know. Let me see if I can find the tweets that they're going with on Trump sleeping here.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Okay, here we go.
Live blogging this event, and 40 minutes ago you wrote an observation that I was very surprised. Trump appears to be sleeping, his head keeps dropping down and his mouth goes slack. Tell us about that.
Well, Jake, he appeared to be asleep, and you know, repeatedly his head would fall down. There have been other moments in other trials, like the E.G. Carroll trial, which was around the corner in January, where he appeared very still and seemed as if he might be sleeping, but then he would move. This time, he didn't pay attention to a note that his lawyer Todd Blanche passed him. His jaw kept falling on his chest, and his mouth kept going slack. Now, you know, sometimes people do fall asleep during court proceedings, but it's notable given the intensity of this morning and a lot of what was being argued.
Yeah, that's rather surprising.
I mean, that's all they got. They have no actual videos of it.
Well, because there's no cameras in the courtroom, right?
Yeah.
So nobody can verify.
So stupid, man.
Oh, Lord.
But yeah, that's all I got on that. I don't know what else I had, man. We're going to keep it pretty sweet and simple tonight because it's Gart Week, baby.
So
I feel like we had more topics, though.
Yeah, I feel like we did, too. Tell me about the venue where the documentary is premiering, because I've had people ask me about it. And I don't know anything about it.
Or the Florida one?
At the Florida, when we come back.
Okay, so Adam reached out. When Adam was filming or working on the Flynn film, he met a lot of like pretty cool people, I guess. And one of the people he met was this venue. I think they might have done a screening there for Flynn. I don't know, but it's the small bar, and the guy who owns the bar also owns other properties, and it's like right next to the bar is this Cape Hayes tavern thing. And we'll be sending out an email to ticket holders, but it's a very small venue, pretty intimate, and but it's pretty badass. It's like, from what I've seen in pictures and what I've been told. And so, yeah, we're going to do a screening there. You can show up early, like an hour early, and hang out with us, maybe even earlier, because I think the bar opens up at like 4:30, which, again, I'll send out that info in the email if you get your tickets. So you'll hang out with us, and then we'll watch the film together. And then afterwards, we're going to do a little panel with, and some of the Badlands hosts who are there will be on it. So me, you, Adam, documentary creator. I think Stormy Joe is going to be there.
Cool.
CanCon, I think, is going to be there. I think JB White said he was going to be there. And these are all the Floridians. But yeah, I'm very excited about it. So if you're in Florida and you want to attend this, hang out with us for a while, chat with us, have a drink or two, talk about the film, you should get tickets. It's on our website, badlandsmedia.tv/FL, I think. I think that's all you need. But yeah.
I was going to suggest the next time that you just add it to the events page.
It is on the events page.
I mean, I couldn't find it.
Are you sure?
Yeah, yeah. I all I could find was for the Gart info.
Well, that's not a me issue. That's a Cheryl issue.
Cheryl?
No, but I know she has.
Oh, we were going to talk about FISA.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
I really have to go pee, so I'm going to go do that. But hold on. Man, it's not on the events page.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I think if you type in badlandsmedia.tv/FL, yeah, badlandsmedia.tv/FL brings you to this page, which has where you can get the tickets for that screening. And there's not many left because, again, it's a small venue. So I'm going to go pee. Maybe you can sing to the audience or you can start talking FISA and I can catch up when you get back.
All right. All right, guys. Well, let me take a look at some of the chats over here. D. Dallin over on Pilt, thank you for the cookie. Water Wizard says, topic for tonight. Sorry, just got here. Well, we're just keeping it loose because we've got Gart coming up, and many of us are pre-recording our shows for this weekend. And next week, obviously, John and I are going to be at the premiere in person of Time of Deceit, the very first documentary coming from Badlands Media Productions. So it should be pretty sweet. You guys, if you haven't yet, do me a favor, hit the like button. Would really appreciate it. If you are also getting here late, then you may not know that Badlands Media is in the top 10 on Rumble. We are the 7th most watched channel on the platform, which is pretty sweet because we're up against some major heavyweights. And you got to love it. So when it comes to the FISA fight, now I'm actually interested to get John's take on this personally, because I know that there was a letter that was signed by some heavy hitters from his Devolution series who suggested that FISA was a necessary component of our intel gathering and you know, just the process that we have to keep America safe abroad. Personally, I think that it's possible that FISA might be a useful tool, but as it's been used and as it is deployed currently, it's allowed for some pretty egregious abuses. And if FISA is going to be used in a responsible manner to keep America safe, I think that the responsibility should then be that it be completely revised. And at the very least, if they're going to be spying on Americans for whatever reason, there has to be an adequate warrant and notification process. The fact that they carved out the section for Congress to let Congress know if they're being spied on, but they're continuing to allow Americans to be spied on in the way that they have, I think that that clearly shows the indication of where they plan to go with it. You know, you take a look at what happened to President Trump in his campaign, that carve out for Congress would have absolutely no bearing on the events that already took place. The FBI and the federal government would still have the ability to spy on a political campaign and not notify them of it. Okay, so as I was saying, John, from my perspective, although FISA may be a useful tool for American intelligence to keep us safe, obviously it was used in an irresponsible manner. They used it to spy on President Trump, the people in his orbit.
It's putting it nicely.
Yeah, I'm putting it very nicely. I'm soft pedaling it here. So, you know, I personally don't know of any specific instances of FISA being used successfully to keep Americans safe. I can point out 100 different instances of where it was abused, and I can also point out many, many different horrific events that took place on American soil that FISA had no bearing on. They still happened. And I think it's likely that the deep state acting through the federal government probably had a hand, if not direct direction of those events actually being implemented on American soil. So I guess my question to you is, if we're talking about your letter that you have referenced before of those heavy hitters from your series suggesting that FISA needs to remain, what do you think the answer is? I mean, I personally think that, you know, an overhaul at minimum is something that's necessary to keep it from being abused. But what would you say?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at the Carter Page FISA application, everything. I mean, that was essentially a warrant, right? The FBI got a warrant, but they lied on the application.
Exactly.
They lied on they withheld information from the judge, the FISA judge. And then they tampered evidence to make it look like, I mean, they had four warrant applications, and they distorted every aspect of each one of those. And so what does it matter if you make these things more difficult for the FBI to spy on you if you have a corrupt FBI agency?
The key to all of those applications and their, you know, their issuance is that the FISA court is completely secret. So nobody knows except for the people who are asking for it and the judge who is basically hearing the FBI agent say, trust me, bro. So the secret aspect of it is the problem, especially when they're going after American citizens. It makes total sense for it to be secret if they're going against people outside of America who are, you know, not American citizens and therefore not protected by the Constitution. But here in America, essentially, they're taking a big steaming dump on the Constitution, and they are abusing it in so many different ways. You know, yes, they lied. Yes, they fabricated evidence. Yes, they withheld evidence. I mean, you know, it just goes on and on. And the reason they could do that is because they didn't have to tell anybody. There was no accountability. And that, to me, is the key. There has to be a level of accountability before they're simply allowed to abuse the process like that. You know, if they're going to be going after Americans, you know, then say, OK, it remains secret. But say there is a disinterested third party, like, you know, an inspector general devoted specifically to reviewing those warrant applications and the supposed evidence that is presented in it. And if it can't be verified, then I don't think that FISA should be granted.
I don't know. Like, I go back and forth in this because that letter from those individuals, and no, I might as well pull it up here. Give me a second to find it. FISA.
You know, because the famous line, FISA goes both ways.
Yep.
Okay. That may be. But the useful stuff from that being applied would have already been gathered. And there should be enough evidence there. So for what reason would it be necessary to keep it in its current incarnation?
Well, I think there may be a level that some of this stuff is actually going both ways. And especially if you think of, you know, more devolution-y type topic, but what if this is part of whatever is going on behind the scenes? But these names, Mike Pompeo, Bill Barr, John Ratcliffe, Robert O'Brien, Devin Nunes, every one of these, especially Robert O'Brien, the guy who was the National Security Advisor, the head of the committee that was established to implement and execute some sort of continuity government plan, December 7th, Executive Order 13961. That's a big name. Him being on here, talking to all these individuals, this letter proved that all of these individuals were still in communication. And this is a very it's a potentially devolution related topic. And them saying, yes, this needs to stay in place. We need to still have this, but let's get the warrant put forth and all these things. The fact that so much of our Congress, especially like some of these uniparty names, were out here like hashtag get a warrant, everybody, all at the same time, they were flooding Twitter for like days with this get a warrant tagline. It made me want to throw up my mouth a little bit, because to me that's like, okay, well, what are we missing here? They all want to do this thing, but just with the warrant, and we know the FBI doesn't give a shit about the warrant aspect of this. So what is really going on here? And then Mike Johnson, his little turnaround, in the middle of this whole thing, he goes to Mar-a-Lago, stands in front of Trump, and they put forth a bill together on illegals voting our election. I thought that was interesting too. And Trump has commented that he's doing a fine job, wonderful job, whatever. I don't know, man. There's more going on here,
certainly,
than we're privy to.
No, I think absolutely. You know, there's no argument there. But I mean, in terms of the public conversation, you know, I think that the only way that FISA survives or should survive is with adjustments to it. And I think that it's likely that the people who were out there, especially, you know, the uniparty's representatives, you know, the reason they were crowing about this and wanting to change it is because they're worried as we get closer to the election that it will be used to intercept their communications, specifically related to their efforts to steal the election a second time. That's what makes the most sense to me.
Could be. I don't think they need this in terms of election stuff. Like, are they going to try another, like, Trump colluded with Russia again, and let's do all these FISAs? I don't think they can pass that narrative off.
No, not at all. But I mean, there's a whole bunch of shady, dirty stuff they can do behind the scenes. I mean, what we were talking about earlier in the show about, you know, crippling American infrastructure just to shut down the grid, shut down the election, and then pump as many votes in as they can. I mean, certainly they don't want anybody catching wind of that, that might potentially be able to step in and say, hey, you can't do this again.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm partially of the mindset that they would allow it. I think I'm going to probably get shit for this. I think best case scenario for the awakening, if you believe that this is a great awakening, if you want it to truly be great, you need some pretty great things to happen. And I think one of the greatest things that could happen is them allowing the steal to go through again. Like just for a period, I do think Donald Trump's going to get inaugurated. But can you think of a single thing that would wake up more people than Biden being declared the winner after who knows what kind of shenanigans take place?
I think that would be a huge wake-up call. But you know, I also think that them getting caught with their pants down doing that, trying to orchestrate that, would also accomplish the same thing. So I mean, I think the only thing that, you know, is at argument here is how far is it allowed to go, and exactly, you know, what the events are going to entail. So, but yes, I think that would totally be a giant wake up call. And I've said that before as well. And people definitely get upset, you know, but yeah,
chat loves that one. Chat loves that one. All I can say, everybody, when it comes to what you think is going to happen, and this includes myself, I remind myself of this every single day. Might as well put this as the picture on my phone. You guys need to temper your expectations. Don't put your eggs in any one basket. Temper your expectations. I made that.
You did.
Temper Expectations by Charles Dickens and John and Patel Patriot.
Oh, that's funny.
And then you will not be let down.
So. Yes. Never hang your hat on any one outcome, because undoubtedly you're probably going to be wrong.
Yeah. I just keep thinking back to the midterms when we were telling you to temper your expectations and telling you if things don't get fixed, they're going to steal it. And who got blamed for the us losing the midterms?
You did.
This guy. The one guy who said exactly what was going to happen. That somehow causes it to happen. It's so stupid.
It's so funny.
It's not funny. That was,
oh my God,
ridiculous. Oh. But anyway.
All right. Well, we should go through the Rumble rants and any final closing things.
Yeah, and, man. I can't urge you guys enough to get your GART tickets, your virtual tickets. I know it's kind of last minute. There might be still some single day tickets available if you're in the area. But the virtual experience, we try to make it, it's almost as if you're there. You're going to get access to a Telegram chat where you can communicate with people in the audience. You can ask questions. We do our best to engage you guys. We'll also have some behind the scenes stuff, like Thursday night, the VIP dinner, and Friday night, the social for everybody. If you notice the last guard, I go around and like ask people questions on camera. And that was a blast. We're going to do that again, of course. And then the documentary, obviously, you'll get early access. So there's no reason not to get a GART virtual ticket. Go to badlandsmedia.tv/events and get yours today, because today's Monday. The event starts Thursday. So limited time, guys. But yeah, let's do the rants.
Okay.
Carrie Prejean, good evening, gentlemen. Looking forward to a great show. See you in Dallas this weekend. No golf for me. I suck at it. I doubt you're worse than Zach is going to be.
No, it's definitely, this is going to be bad, but that's fine. I embrace the suck.
Yeah, I can't wait for it now. Poso for Hope. Smelter was trying to get it in his pants. Not sure what that
is. Oh, Stelter.
Yeah. Fred Awakening. Hello, friends, and the four people from my HR department that hit the thumbs down. Appreciate your engagement. Afraid Awakening, the smart people that avoid jury duty because they actually have jobs always claim to be racist. At least I do. Had a two-weeker in front of me. Said, dude, looks guilty because he's black. LOL. And I just want to remind people these are rants that other people are saying, and we're just reading them. That is not the views of Badlands Media or myself personally. Snowcat Operator, would really like to see a baseless conspiracy dive into Prince. Thanks for this presenting this show, a weekly gem.
Okay, hold on. Let me add that to the list. Prince was based, by the way. He knew what was up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Good musician too, man. Purple Rain. Fred Awakening, I don't care what chat says about you, Zach. You are my favorite sports baller ever. Even though what you mentioned has nothing to do with actual sports, I have your back.
Thank you, Fredo. You're a scholar and a gentleman.
And we got to stop calling it Rumble Rants on this portion of this show, because it really just is the Fred Awakening hour. And we got another one from Fred Awakening. 2.3 million followers on ScrewTube means nothing. Bots and usually small engagement. Chunky Yogurt has a ton and nobody takes that dog effort seriously. I don't know who Chunky Yogurt is.
The Young Turks. Chink Uyghur or something like that.
Oh, yeah. The guy who wants to have sex with a horse or watch the bestiality thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, stupid. You're right. I just do wish it's not, I don't even care about YouTube. It's just the fact that it's like when I tell my kids, hey, don't do this one thing, and that's the one thing that they want to do for the rest of the day, is that one thing I told them they can't do. That's how I feel about YouTube. It's like they're telling me you can't be on YouTube. And I'm just like, you know what? Screw you. I want to be on YouTube and I want to be on it harder than anything else that we're on. And I just can't. I don't like being told no. So whatever. Fred Awakening, props. Texas Jewels. Things we'll never get answers to. Who's responsible for the ship hitting the bridge, the SCOTUS leaker, the DC pipe bomber, and the doctor who did Michelle Obama's boob job?
Touche.
Fred Awakening again. Props, John, on the shout out. You're all grows up. And there's a YouTube link. This might be the redacted thing.
Oh, we had that video clip we were going to play too.
Under control. Oh, I guess you don't have to...
Which one?
The one that I sent you at the beginning of the show.
Oh yeah, we'll close on that.
Okay. Okay.
Don't let me forget.
I won't.
Babies all grows up. You know what? Shut up. Come on. No, no. Our little babies all grows
why
up.
You have to. Gee, why do you have to?
I'm not even hungry. I couldn't touch it.
Okay. Well, you guys get the gist of that. Thanks for now. let me get back to here. Fred Awakening, does anyone have Tina's number? And that's the only part of that rant I'm going to read. Petty 429. Qatar, April is looking spicy. No recognition unless you want to play Hawktree. Hey, that sounds like a North Dakotan. Because Hawktree is a golf course here in town. Fred Awakening, love you both and love this chat. We all need to laugh, and this stream is more fun than drowning a chef in a small pond. Mohap.
Here's Muffin.
Muffin. No way. I've never actually seen what Muffin looks like.
And she's a chunk. That's usually why you don't see her, because she takes up a lot of space.
Cute. What kind of dog?
She's a Jack Russell Beagle mix. She's a Jacoby. She just turned 10 years old in January.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Cute.
Yeah, she is a cutie.
Darlin 10, so you're not doing a dive on Flat Earth? Not tonight, guys. I think we already covered that on one of our episodes. Petty 429, Red Pill and Red Pill Girlfriend are awesome. Love the teamwork. Is Girlfriend coming to Dallas?
No, she's going to be here with the dogs. She's coming to Deadwood. We've already got it set with my mom. She's coming to stay here with the animals, and Lisa and I will both be in Deadwood.
Awesome. I think we're going to try to get all of our speakers to Deadwood.
Oh, sweet.
No promises yet, but I think we can do it. We'll see what happens. The final demand. John, I bitched about buffering loading on DPH Saturday night, the obvious suppression of Badlands. You said you should do a panel on that at GART. Sunday morning, it magically stopped. Someone's listening. If only you guys knew some of it really probably is a baseless conspiracy we could discuss, but we are a little suppressed here on Badlands, even on the Rumble. In my opinion, total conspiracy, but I have proof to back it up. But I don't want to say anything, even though I just said too much. Carrie Prejean, thanks for the great conversation, gentlemen. Mohap Fredo, I'm with you. Guard 4 is coming. Ooh, yes, ooh. It is, and we'll see you there. Fred Awakening, accidentally bought Golden Valley Agricultural Research Trust stock after trying to buy a guard ticket. Wish me luck. I hope that stock takes off for you, buddy.
To the moon!
Crossroads 45, just rewatched Sacrificing Liberty. Israel tried to sink her, and it was covered up. I know you must have tons of things to cover on your list, Zach, but those sailors deserve to have their story told.
Got it. Yes, that's a good one.
And then the real Mega Mama says, the pick of Bet David is on Google. Also, could you add a live for golf for virtual? Hey, if we sell enough virtual tickets, maybe we'll do some of that. We'll see. But I think that's all the rants, man.
We could try streaming from the golf course. I mean, it might work.
We'll see. Maybe at least for a little bit.
Yeah.
See what happens. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We do have this YouTube video. Do you want to preface this real quick?
Yeah. So this is it's an animated cartoon. And I gotta put Muffin down. She's too big. It's a fictional representation of Jeffrey Epstein being brought back from the dead by Bill Clinton and Bill Gates. And you're going to love it.
Awesome. So I'll see you guys on Wednesday's Power Hour. It might be pre-recorded. It will be pre-recorded because I'm going to be flying to Dallas that day. But otherwise, we'll see.
Altered State will be as well.
Get your tickets. And Altered State will be pre-recorded. So get your GART tickets. You will not want to miss this weekend. It'll be a great time. So see you guys. See you, Zach.
Peace.
I got it. I'm in the zone. My legs are moving so fast. It's like there are hummingbirds' wings. It's those P90X videos. Oh man, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna beat your record, Bill. One more Gates, sequence.
There's just one thing you forgot.
What's that?
You can't handle
What are you doing?
Pressure.
What? No, stop. Wait. Hold on. Dang it. Damn, that's cheating.
No, it's not cheating, Gates.
Game over.
You got to know how to play dirty.
You just can't stand the possibility that I'm a better dancer than you.
You're not better at nothing to me, Gates. All you are is like the third richest man in the world.
Well, okay, whoa. Hey, that's over the line. You know, I could say a few things. Wait. Jeff?
He's awake. Jeff. Just hold still, okay? Just.
You got a lot to take in, I know. We're in a safe place. Jeff, don't freak out, but we had to make some alterations. I think we did a pretty good job. Hold on. Why don't you take a look for yourself?
Jeff, now I was gonna tell you. I really was. It was Hillary. She got to you before we could. And she's always been a jealous woman. Her rage is responsible for so many bad things. I mean, the way she would react when I would even look at a woman. Her eyes would always follow mine. She's always taken out her rage on my personal interests. She hated what we had. She tried to find happiness in running for public office. We all know how that went. I mean, how humiliating was that? But she was so embarrassed. And I guess I could have been there for her, but I don't know. We had the wet t-shirt contest that week, so I was with you. She saw you as the problem. You were so vulnerable in that cell. She saw an opportunity to express herself. Take you away from me.
Jeff, it'll be all right. Don't worry. Go away. We're busy in here. We don't want any visitors.
And what about very old friends?
Wait, it couldn't be. It's R.